This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, the day after Thanksgiving. We are stuffed. Yeah. We are tired of turkey. Yes. We can't handle it anymore. No. We want a break from that.
Yes. Happy Friday. Happy Black Friday, right? You going to do some shopping today?
Well, going to have to, you know.
Yeah. Get ready for Christmas.
It's required. You're not a real American unless you at least buy something Trumpian.
Right. Get out there and fight the crowds. Traffic, parking.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless you wrestle with somebody in a department store for the next hottest toy for your niece
nephew. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's all what you got look
for. I remember those kind of days. Yeah. You know, Toys R Us.
Oh, sure.
I used to take the kids there. Man. That was fun. I mean, you know, seeing all the different toys.
Yeah,
you're exposed to everything.
Fun. Yeah. It's fun stuff. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Does it need batteries? What kind of batteries?
Exactly.
Big batteries? Yeah. Small batteries? B batteries? C batteries? Yeah. Yeah. D cell batteries? Got to get the batteries. Batteries are expensive.
They are.
They had an electronic section. Do you ever go into that?
Yeah.
At Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Sure.
I've never been to a Toys R Us.
Mm. Oh, that's right. They kind of went out of business there for a while. Did they come back?
Well, they're online.
I think so.
They're online. But, they had a corner of the store for electronics.
Sure.
You know, the gaming stuff. And it was kind of interesting. A lot of the kids didn't know too much about technology at the time. So, you know, you'd ask for maybe an SD card of some sort. Oh, what's that? Maybe over there, you know?
Yeah.
But it was fun. I love going in there, just seeing the latest toys.
Yeah.
You're exposed to all of it.
Fun stuff.
Yeah. And then when you first walk in, they always had these really cheap holiday toys that you could buy.
Right.
Just really bad stuff.
Junk.
They'd last for a day or two, and that would be about it.
Yeah.
But you couldn't help but buy one thing, you know, for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stocking stuffers, you got to get those.
Oh, yeah.
And all that kind of crap.
You talking about batteries earlier reminded me of a chaotic Christmas one year when we had like the Try Me batteries in a toy in the store.
Yes, sure.
And
sure.
They got taken out and just must have gotten wrapped up with all of the wrapping paper that was getting torn apart on Christmas.
Right.
And when I was growing up, we had a fireplace in my house and
we decided
to burn the paper one year.
Oh. Uh-oh.
The battery ended up in the fireplace and exploded in our living room.
Oh my God.
Anybody get hurt?
Nobody got hurt, but we had an acid stain on the ceiling of our living room for a few years after that.
That adds a little excitement to the holiday festivities. That's nice.
Yeah, it's officially Christmas season now. Now that Thanksgiving's done.
Yeah. Well, get those credit cards ready, just like you said.
Yeah.
Gotta have that.
It's a big, big buying day for everybody.
Yeah. And we got the National Day Calendar, too. And let's run through that. And see what the day after Thanksgiving's all about here. Is it or is it
not? It's got to be a leftover day of some sort, right?
We'll get to that. Is it or is it not Electronic Greetings Day? How about your Welcome Giving Day? Is it Maze Day? Is it or is it not Buy Nothing Day? We already know it's Black Friday. Is it National Day of Listening Day? National Flossing Day? Or National Glue, Tape, and Other Adhesives Day? Well, what day is it not?
I'd like to say it was National Flossing Day.
Well, it is National Flossing Day, but you're supposed to guess what it's not. No, he gets a buzzer.
What the hell did I do?
He guessed the day right. You didn't say you had to guess the wrong one.
I reversed it.
Okay. You're supposed to guess what day it's not.
It's the last thing you said, which is
glue, tape, and other adhesives.
Yeah. You don't think there's a day for that?
No.
Well, you're right. That's not the day today. maybe some other day that we'll celebrate glue and tape and other adhesives.
Day to smell adhesives day?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Electronic Greetings Day, though. What would an electronic greeting
those
be
those are
like?
Kind of cool, you know, when you get those electronic cards?
Yeah.
You open it up and it talks to you. It has your name in it or even the voice of the person who recorded it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Well, yes. The convenience and speed of sending an electronic greeting allows more people than ever to participate in a thoughtful, you know, greeting other people kind of thing.
Wow. What is this?
It makes no sense at all.
I was going to say, what popped into my head first was like a candygram, but a robot.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Electronic Greetings Day.
Well, let's get...
So what is it?
Well, you can send an electronic greeting either using the preferred method of communication.
Telegraph?
Electronically. It could be a text. It could be a video. It could be live or pre-recorded. You'd make it short or long. It could be on social media or perhaps a card sent through email. They'd make email greeting cards.
Mm-hmm.
Those. And so that's the electronic greeting. The advent of electronic greetings started with email. What year do you think email started?
Oh, I'd say about 96.
Nope, you're wrong. Sam?
I'd say, I know it was way earlier than the internet, like what you think, like late 70s?
Well, that might have been the original.
Quote unquote email.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What's the actual
the year
date?
That it actually kicked in as far as consumers using it, 1993.
Okay. That was close.
Peg it there, yeah. So, yeah, happy Electronic Greeting Day.
Wow.
Stupid thing.
It is.
How about your Welcome Giving Day? The day after Thanksgiving is your Giving Day.
Welcome Giving Day.
Okay.
Like Thanksgiving Day, Welcome Giving
Day. It's
observed. Well, it's what you say after thanks. You're welcome. And so after Thanksgiving, it's your welcome giving.
You nailed it.
Wow.
The phrase, you're welcome, covers a variety of thank yous in English. Whether the appreciation is coming from an individual or a group, you're welcome works. It can be said while giving a hug, a handshake, or a smile. When we really mean that our effort was meant with care.
I'm going to put my foot down here. Welcome. This is the dumbest day. Can we just... Wow. I mean, my head is exploding from this one. I can't handle it anymore. We do this every day.
You don't have any courtesy grammar or,
I can tell that you've got an upper limit for how many national days you can handle in one day.
I do.
Okay. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right. Yeah.
God.
How about maize day? Maize.
Like corn?
Yes, corn. Is this going to put you over the edge too?
I don't know. Try me.
Day is set aside for all Americans, regardless of heritage, to celebrate corn's traditional role in the North American continent. We salute corn today in maize.
A couple months ago when the Sun Prairie Corn Festival was happening,
yes.
Did either of you go to that this
year? No, I forgot about it.
I also forgot about it.
Yeah.
I wanted to go and see the salt shaker tree.
You haven't been to it, so you really should have gone.
I know.
Yeah.
Here's another day. It's Buy Nothing Day. This is for people that don't like the whole Black Friday thing. Buy Nothing Day is observed the day after Thanksgiving. It's part of a movement against consumerism, urging the world to change their ways, their purchasing habits to consume and produce less. Instead of shopping, stay home and relax. Cut up your credit cards. That's what it says here.
That is ridiculous.
Do a Worldmart. A Worldmart? What is a Worldmart?
I would say this day is a failure.
Listen to this. You like this. Do a Worldmart. This is the act of disrupting others that are doing shopping by pushing your shopping cart around the store over and over while purchasing nothing.
Oh.
You're walking around with an empty shopping cart in a Walmart or some other store and doing nothing but disrupting other shoppers. That doesn't seem like a nice thing to do.
Oh, boy. That is bad. That's bad.
Here's another way you can celebrate Do Nothing or Buy Nothing Day. Organize a Christmas zombie walk, a virtual expression of obsessive consumers. I don't get that one. Balance your checkbook.
Zombie walk?
Today. A zombie walk. A virtual expression of the obsession consumers have with Black Fridays.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I was gonna
be a zombie and walk around.
I was gonna compare John to the Grinch because they're both very curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
The difference is that John loves to buy things.
Well, that's true.
John, you are a diehard consumerist.
I really am. I'm constantly testing objects out. Things you buy on the internet.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I'm always testing them out. For you. I do this for you.
Do you send a lot of that stuff back?
Yeah. No, my son does.
Okay. Yeah. Here's another way you can buy nothing on this day. Read a book about counter-consumerism called Empire of Things.
You know, why not just leave everybody alone?
Okay.
Forget it. Stop trying to prevent people from buying things. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with these people?
I don't know. Okay. That's it for the... there's one more. National Day of Listening and National Flossing Day. Which one you'd like to hear? National Day.
Let's hear that.
Oh, kind of get that. National Day of Listening. Just listen to other people, okay? National Flossing Day. It celebrates the joys of flossing.
What?
Reminds us to take care of our teeth and gums. The health observance takes place each year the day after Thanksgiving. Because they figure you've overeaten. You probably fell asleep on the
turkey,
couch.
Turkey stuff between your teeth.
Yeah.
Rotting day after day after day without flossing.
Well,
not good.
The American Dental Association recommends flossing at least once a day to achieve the best results for oral health. Flossing removes plaque from areas between your teeth where the toothbrush is ineffective.
And massages the gum.
Floss.
As well.
Floss.
Strengthens
today.
Your gums.
There you go. Okay.
Otherwise, when you floss, your gums bleed.
Yes.
So if you floss all the time, they don't bleed. They're healthy. They're strong. I don't understand. You know, they came out with research saying that flossing didn't do anything.
Right.
And I just don't understand that.
That's just stupid. Why did they say that? That's dumb.
Yeah, it seems to do something for the gums to make them really, really strong. Yeah, they don't bleed.
Exactly.
If they don't bleed, you've done something.
Floss. Okay. All right.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
Thank you. Did I mention that this portion, did I do this?
No, you didn't do this.
This portion of the John and Gordy Show, the Thanksgiving Day After Show, is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East and West Sides or online at verlo.com.
On this Black Friday.
Yeah, we're just getting started on this very special day where consumerism runs rampant all across America.
It does.
Get out there and shop till you drop. Buy something nice for somebody. Or just, you know, be your curmudgeon-y
self. Or just try to tell somebody not to shop anymore.
Yeah, or shop for yourself. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll be back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in just mere moments.
There's something about me, the women all love. I wear Italian shoes.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning overlooking State Street.
Mm-hmm.
Looks kind of slow today.
A little cloudy out there.
BRTs, they move so quickly that I don't know how many pedestrians have been killed so far.
We're tracking that, but so far, so good. Just in case. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we're welcoming Beth Johnson into the studio. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
We're glad to have you here to tell us about the Holiday Art Market, which is happening December 7th and 8th in Middleton, right?
Yes.
It certainly is. The Holiday Art Market is a benefit for Way Forward Resources. It ultimately will provide support to provide security for food and housing stability in our local area.
How many is this the first year or has this been going on for a while?
The holiday art market has been going on at least 10 years.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
For some people, kind of a kickoff to the holiday season. They won't dare miss it.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of fun. You're going to have like 50 local artists, right?
We have a lot going on that weekend. So, yes, we have 50 artists plus. A lot of them are local artists. We also have many, many door prizes. A visit with Santa will be on Saturday from 12 to 2:30. There's an area for holiday baked goods and DIY, do-it-yourself gift tags. One of the highlights of the show is the holiday gift to go baskets or to go boxes, which are little tote boxes filled with trinkets and holiday cheer. And they are sold, and the proceeds of those boxes come back to Way Forward Resources to again support food security and housing stability in our area.
Okay. So it's not it's not a good thing when you spill the holiday cheer all over everything. It's
what are you talking about?
Well, it's in the gift box. That's you don't want to.
Be careful.
You don't want to lose the holiday. spirit.
So, Beth, tell us a little bit more about Way Forward.
Yeah, has it always been Way Forward?
So, Way Forward Resources was formerly Middleton Outreach Ministry for about 40 years. We rebranded about a year and a half ago. We are Way Forward Resources now.
Yes.
Formerly Middleton Outreach Ministry. And we offer food security and housing stability programs for the local area. We have one of the largest food pantries in Dane County, open to all Dane County residents. And the housing stability services is specifically for the Middleton, Cross Plains, and West Madison area. In that program, we provide case management, referrals, and housing stability assistance so that people do not have to face the trauma of homelessness. Last year, about 729 households, I guess that's an exact number, 729 households received direct assistance from us last year for housing assistance.
You help them avoid eviction.
That is the goal. Right? We want to avoid eviction. That is our space. Yes.
Especially this time of year. But now there's another thing that I wanted to find out about, these remits. Tell me about the remits.
Yes, absolutely.
What are these?
Remits is a nonprofit in our area that upcycles wool into mittens that are available at many places around the county, but specifically at the Holiday Art Market for a $40 donation. 100% of the proceeds of remits go to food pantries, and that organization has raised nearly or more than $875,000 since 2009.
Wow.
It's a lot of money upcycled wool.
It is. It's amazing.
Upcycling wool to feed hungry people.
Now, let's go back to the gift-to-go boxes.
You bet.
What's in these exactly?
The holiday cheer.
Yeah,
well,
holiday cheer.
But you've got, gadgets and gizmos and trinkets and this.
Trinkets and surprises.
Holiday treats.
Like a springy peanut.
Like stocking stuffers.
Just jumps right out.
Okay.
It's like stocking stuffers, and the kicker is each one has a $25 gift card to use. So people pay $25, but the value is at least $30.
Okay.
So it's a bonus. People wait in line to get them.
Now, John and Gordy will be there. We're going to have a little booth, and we've got our own holiday cheer to add to the story.
Yeah, we do.
We've got our own. They're like ornaments that have our name on them, but they also double as stress balls.
That's
those stress balls when you get stressed out?
You got it.
We've got those, John and Gordy.
We have those.
Stress balls.
Yes.
And we're going to be giving those out.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
You're going to join the festive and the fun.
Okay. You can put a little hook on them and put them on the tree, too. Right?
Yes,
little
you can.
What we should do at the station
can.
Is get a Christmas tree here and dedicate it just with John and Gordy's stress balls.
That's it. Yeah, we're going to set it right up here.
I thought you were going to say before one of you were going to make the appearance as Santa Claus.
Well, no.
That's not going to happen.
What are you talking about? The real Santa Claus will be there.
Yeah,
Sam.
The real one.
Come
John,
on.
You should bring your kids. They can sit on his lap, tell them what they want for Christmas.
Well, they're 6'4 now, but...
in their 20s, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds like a great time, and it takes place 2 days, Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 3. So a little bit shorter on Sunday. Both days will be very busy with lots going on.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you guys helped me out a lot. Yeah, we had an overabundance in our garden, and we took some of our butternut squash to the pantry.
We
drop off point, yes. And it was just it was great. It took a load off our wagon. Mm. So thank you.
So Beth, if people want to find out more, I mean, it's really December 6th or 7th and 8th.
You're looking for donations as well. So, always looking for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Donations can be dropped off at Way Forward Resources any day of the week, Monday through mm-hmm. Friday, 9 to 4. It's a good time to drop off donations. Thank you for the produce. Yeah. Very helpful during the summer months and into winter months. Really, any food that goes on the shelves is received gracefully and gratefully. So. Mm-hmm. Keep the donations coming. We need them.
And these artists that are going to be there, the 50 artists or more, they're all local, right?
Many of them, if not all of them, are local, yes. And some show just at our event. Mm. They prepare and show just at our event. Some of the vendors are nonprofits themselves, so it's a 2-for-1.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, this is indoors.
It is all indoors. Okay. Cozy and warm.
It's at 2551 Parmenter Street, the Holiday Art Market, December 7th and 8th, and John and Gordy will be there too. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't
it
wait.
It is. It
good
is.
Good times.
Right down the street from where I live.
Yeah, so it's easy for you. Yeah. Just stroll down there and bring the kids. Bring the whole family. All right, thank you again, Beth.
All right. Thanks for having us. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 7:28, back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
Every week we have Mike McCabe as a regular guest on Wednesdays, and we cover a lot of different subjects with him. This most recent one, or a couple of weeks ago, we were talking with him about education.
Right.
People leaving the profession. He was mentioning some of the people he knew, teachers that have been in the profession a long time, leaving it.
It wasn't just something we noticed.
Right.
It was something he noticed, and he had great thoughts on that.
Yeah, take a listen.
Doing his thing on Substack, we have Mike McCabe in the studio this morning, and do we have a few things to talk about.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning. Good to have you with us.
All right, let's start with, we were just talking about teachers being drummed out of the business by their students now. They can't handle the Gen Alphas, the youngest generation.
Teachers are quitting. They're walking away.
What is happening? Now, you mentioned that you had just gone out with a friend of yours who is a teacher.
Was
you were a teacher.
On your biking.
We went hiking.
Oh, okay, hiking.
So, tell us, is this really happening in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely in Wisconsin. You know, I used to work for Madison Schools a long time ago and developed a lot of relationships with teachers and principals and other school staffers that have lasted a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I've lost count of the number of teachers I know who chose to leave before they really reached retirement age, even mm-hmm. early retirement age. They just decided, I'm out.
And why?
And I think part of it is feeling disrespected or not valued as a profession. But I think the precipitating event for a lot of them is this sense that They would love to see phones banned in the classroom. They would just like to see those things locked away during instruction periods, because they, you know, and that all of that scrolling has really affected attention span and focus on the classroom. Try to get a kid to read a book or even a lengthy passage somewhere, and then be able to talk about it when they're wanting to pull out their phones and do some more scrolling and look at a couple of 30-second videos.
You just described me.
Yeah. and you know, it's a society-wide issue that we're all struggling with, but kids who have grown up knowing nothing else and they never were in a classroom that where their undivided attention was on, you know, classic literature or some science lesson or a geography lesson, and that attention span issue and the discipline issue, just you know, teachers being sworn at and really treated horribly by kids, and then the parents backing the kids' behavior, that didn't used to happen, you know. When I went to school, I had to deal with the teacher, and if the teacher laid down the law, my parents backed the teacher.
Absolutely.
And that's all changed culturally, and that is affecting the teaching profession too. So a lot of them have decided, you know, this is if I could teach the way I want to teach, I would still be doing it. Mm-hmm. I hear that so often. If I could teach the way I want to teach, I would not leave this profession. I love the profession, but I can't teach the way I want to teach. And so that it's a society-wide crisis right now.
Well, you know, we had a call earlier about Act 10, and it says here, Act 10 took away teachers' unions' ability to negotiate working conditions in Wisconsin. And I'm wondering if that happened nationwide, whether other people lost these rights to negotiate what's going on in the classroom. Remember, our biggest argument to not put Act 10 into place was to give the teachers the ability to at least roll with the changes in the classroom.
Yep.
And this is exactly the kind of change that they needed to roll with, but they don't have that ability anymore.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say a lot of teachers are feeling disrespected or devalued.
Yeah,
and it's not just about money. Part of it is the fact that teachers have been squeezed financially, but a lot of it is just their inability now to have control over what happens in their job.
Yeah.
It is working conditions that is the driver, and I after a dozen or a dozen and a half of them that I personally know who said I'm out, I kind of lost count.
Yeah.
But
do they bring up these drills and for shootings and that kind of thing, or just the looming threat that, you know,
that's not top of mind, don't think, but it's a factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that they all acknowledge. It's a part of the classroom reality that didn't used to be part of the classroom reality.
Right.
And it's a stress. But no, I think it has more to do with how they can interact with students and how they can manage a classroom, or if they can manage a classroom. And it's about respect of the profession and value placed on that profession, and they feel like that's just not there anymore, and that's important to them. So they decide, you know what, I'm going elsewhere.
Well, the whole thing here is that Act 10 was a way to save money, save the state money, which we know didn't happen. It didn't save the state any money. Act 10 did not do that at all. What it did was tie the hands of the teachers from being able to change education, make it better, because for whatever reason, I don't know why the Republicans in this state don't like education and try to undermine it every step of the way. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what their end game is on that. Do you have any idea what their end game is to prevent people from being educated?
You know, I think a lot of it had to do with, Republicans f- felt like teachers unions were such a potent political force, and they just wanted to clip those wings.
That's right.
And so I don't know that there was anything beyond just the raw politics of the situation. Teachers unions
contributed
adversaries, and therefore let's do something to kneecap teachers unions.
And that's all it was.
But your average teacher who's trying to do a job in a classroom. Mm-hmm. Their day-to-day life is about those interactions and relationships with kids, and it's about the process of teaching, and they feel they've lost control over how they can operate in a classroom. There's a generation gap there. You know, they're having a hard time relating to kids who won't put their phones down and who swear at them or choke them or engage in behavior that wasn't tolerable when those teachers were students in a classroom.
Well, we heard that cut and from a teacher who talked about these teachers walking away, and she said it was every age group of teacher.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And they're having a hard time getting young people to go into teaching in the first place.
Right.
Education schools are having a hard time filling those seats in classrooms for teacher preparation.
We want Sam to become a teacher.
now you want me to. I thought you were just trying to discourage me from it.
We weren't trying to discourage you. Unfortunately, this is the news.
Yeah. So we're talking with Mike McCabe here, author and Substack blogger. So what is the current norm for teachers dealing with phones in the classroom? Is it up to the teacher to say, hey, put your phones in the plastic bag and put them in a drawer? Or
if a teacher tries to do that unilaterally,
can't do it.
Oh, it really needs to be a school-wide policy. And there are states now that are starting to look at or even pass laws saying that no cell phones in classrooms.
And that's it.
And they have to go in some kind of a bag or a box and get locked away
for the entire school day.
But the parents are objecting to that.
And parents tend to object to it because they want to be able to reach their child at any moment. But that creates a problem in terms of teaching. If a teacher tries to do that alone, it doesn't work. Even if a few teachers try to band together and do it, it doesn't work. It has to be a school-wide policy. And if it's going to be a school-wide policy, it really needs to be a district-wide policy, or it is really hard to buck these social trends.
Wow. You would think it would be an easy thing. You'd walk into the classroom, you know, put your phone on a windowsill. Everybody puts their phone on the windowsill, and they just go sit down. But the problem is... the time between classes.
Yeah, and the kids don't want to put their phones down.
That's right.
And unfortunately, the parents don't want the kids to surrender their phones. So it really is the teachers sort of saying, this doesn't work because I don't have their attention. I can't get them to focus on the work that we're trying to accomplish during a class period. But I don't have the backing of the parents. Mm-hmm. I don't have the students aren't anxious to do this. And, you know, so there's going to have to be a point where our society just makes a turn. And decides all of that doom scrolling is really harmful.
It's real. All right, let's get to something very quickly here. Bernie Sanders said that the Democrats are not relating well to the working class. And I think he is so absolutely wrong with what he is saying, because I think Kamala and Waltz, I think they both did such a great job of connecting. And I know you're going to say this, they're just not telling the stories, but Waltz was like the guy who told the stories. You know, he's out at the garage, he's putting oil in the car, and he's discussing politics and ways to get ahead and, you know, home buying and buying a car and, you know, telling students, you know, the best way to do whatever it is they want to do. I thought they had it. They had the feel for this. And they lost to a guy who said, I believe in the working class, with no solutions, nothing at all.
Well, I disagree with you, John.
Here we go.
And that's okay. But
hey, wait a minute here.
and I don't think I don't lay the blame at the feet of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, because the problem didn't start in 2023 or 2024. The disconnect between the working class and the Democratic Party spans nearly a generation.
Yes, I agree with that.
This has been something that's been developing over the course of a considerable amount of time. And a lot of working class people look at a basic reality. It used to be possible for a single wage earner to support a family. One wage supported a family. Mm-hmm. It put food on the table, a roof over the head. It met the needs of a family. And that's not possible anymore. Now it takes two incomes, maybe three, maybe four,
right,
to support a family. And there's vulnerability for working class people that didn't exist a generation or two ago. And they can get work. It's true when Democrats say the unemployment rate is low. Anybody who wants a job can have one. But the reality for working class folks is that the work they find isn't family supporting employment. Mm-hmm. And they can't put food on a table and pay a mortgage. And they don't have decent health care. So when a loved one falls sick, they don't know that they can get the care that they need. They don't know that they can afford their kids to get the kind of education they know their kids will need with AI and the digital economy taking over. So they're afraid. Donald Trump is, if he's anything, he's really good at stoking fear.
Right. Yes.
He's really good at speaking to those deep-seated fears. And the reality is that politics is way more about emotion than it is about intellect. You can shower people with facts, but if their reality has them feeling vulnerable and they're afraid of what the future holds, they will be drawn to that message that they sense reflects their anxieties and their fears and their realities. Democrats have not done a good job over the course of a generation now.
But it's not part of their DNA to do this. We don't sit there making people afraid of life.
But what Democrats need to do a better job is to offer a real sense to working class people that we understand those anxieties and here's the hope. Here's what we can do about those things. And what Democrats in this campaign did was offer an opportunity economy. People aren't looking for a vague promise of opportunity. They're looking for family supporting employment and health care, and they're looking for things from Democrats. Democrats have to offer the opposite of what Trump is offering,
or messaging
in a dramatic way.
The framing and messaging
that speaks to the heart
thing. Yes,
we will continue with Mike McCabe after a brief time out. John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now 7:52, back with Mike McCabe in the studio, and what are we going to take on next?
Well, you guys just have so much to say. You were talking right through the break.
We were talking through education, and we didn't even get to the part where Trump and the administration is going to dismantle the Department of Education, making things even more
complicated,
up in the air, crazy, chaotic.
But you know, when we were talking about this on the break, we invented a K-12 education system in this country,
right?
When it was possible for a sole breadwinner to support a family, and somebody would stay home and tend the kids. Those days are gone, and nobody, no Democrats, no Republicans, nobody is talking about whether a K-12 design makes any sense for our society today. We got to be thinking PK-14, not K-12. Mm-hmm. We need it before kindergarten, public education, supporting kids, and we need it for at least 2 years beyond high school. And so...
Boy, we talked about that before. The state talked about it. Maybe, making it free, 2-year college
free, and then they get to, you know, go
from
there.
And here's where the storytelling comes in.
Yeah.
People need to understand that those politicians get what they're experiencing and understand that it is not possible to support a family with a single income anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the daycare expense, and that chews up one of the incomes because it's so blasted expensive, so hard to come by.
Right.
And they're thinking, we're still in a situation where we're trying to make do covering all of our expenses with one income because the other income's going primarily for childcare.
Right.
And we're not making it on that income. And they've got to understand that some politician out there gets that and understands it, mm-hmm. and can speak from the heart about it. And it's not about citing statistics and facts and
right.
unemployment rates and inflation rates and this and that. It is about communicating in a way that makes people confident that those politicians get what they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that. That this current ticket, Democratic ticket, or even past Democratic tickets, had a good message on the economy, but they weren't talking about what really is at work with the child care crisis. They weren't talking about a national health care program.
Mm-hmm.
The best that they've been willing to put forward is Obamacare. They haven't been willing to put forward a national health insurance program. They're not talking about the core vulnerabilities of working class people. So Democrats do have to come to terms with the fact that they've lost the working class.
Boy, I agree with you.
They always thought they were the working class party.
Yeah.
They have to at some point come to terms with the reality that they're not the working class's party today. And they've got some work to do to earn that working class back.
Well, the one thing that's always in the back of my mind is health care. You know, it's a big issue on this show, universal health care, because one event can wipe out your kids' college savings, your savings. You work hard for a living, paycheck to paycheck, and you've got this little nest egg put away, and all of a sudden somebody breaks a leg or has a car accident, and you blow through it, and it's gone, and then you're on the edge again, and it keeps us all on the edge, and that's the problem, and we're not dealing with ways to solve that.
And I think, sadly, the Democrats have kind of become the status quo party,
mm-hmm.
defending Social Security, defending Medicare, sort of saying the economy's okay, the economy's just fine.
Yeah.
We can all just keep things the way they are, and that'll be okay. But for working class folks, they're saying the status quo is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they will then go if there's an absence of a vision for a different future, they'll go for dismantling the Department of Education because they think this isn't working for us.
Yeah.
They'll go for dismantling Obamacare because they're thinking this isn't doing enough for us.
Yeah.
The Democrats have to think much more aspirationally, in my view. They have to offer a vision for what the future can look like, not just defend the present. Because for working class people, the present is not good enough.
Would you agree that they were forced to defend the present?
No, I don't think you're ever forced to defend the present, but obviously that's why the incumbent is always losing in recent elections.
Yeah.
The country will elect a Republican, then the next time they'll elect a Democrat, and then mm-hmm. they'll elect a Republican. It's because whoever's in charge is kind of put in the position of having to defend their record.
Right.
And the working class is thinking, I'm still not satisfied with the way things going. So I'll go with the Democrats next time in 2026 or 2028, because if these problems don't get addressed, then I'll flip sides again.
Mike, you were talking about during the break, some of the politicians that do a good job of talking about the human condition and telling a story, like Clinton and Reagan and Obama.
They were great storytellers.
They were great storytellers, and they would point out examples, and they would talk about a specific family going through mm-hmm. a crisis, and people could relate to that. But we're looking for that, I guess, from the Democrats next time around.
You know, the Democratic message is always heavy on facts and statistics and this and that.
Yeah.
But when you think about the politicians who've been most successful in moving voters, Ronald Reagan was a brilliant storyteller, and he coasted to two terms.
Right.
Bill Clinton, another really gifted storyteller, also two-term president. Barack Obama, incredibly gifted storyteller, two-term president. Every other president has struggled to make it through one term without being reviled. It just goes to show that political campaigning is way more about storytelling than reciting facts.
And then, of course, we had a problem with age. So,
Hey, we are all out of time, Mike. Good to talk to you. We never got to the thing we were going to talk about the four turns, but we'll get around that.
Maybe we can do that next week.
Have to do it next week. You got to give people hope.
Yep.
And that was Mike McCabe joining us here on the John and Gordy Show. That's going to wrap it up for this hour, but we've got much more straight ahead.
So much more.
Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.